Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries on Sunday. This is a very happy Pastor Sabrina sending happiness in Jesus Christ to you. Amen. I want to announce that Jesus Christ is helping us get the point.
Amen.
How to celebrate motherhood. From the northern light, he's lit up the sky all the way to Florida.
Amen.
So, when you hear those tales of woe from those abortion people, turn that off. Remember, Jesus is showing us how to celebrate motherhood. We have to lift our eyes to the sky to see the beauty that he's provided for us. Amen? Amen. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and aunts and godmothers and all of you who have helped raise somebody in some way. You know, they used to say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes more than that now. Amen? Yes, we need help in that direction. Amen. You see, there are a lot of people who were not birth mothers who helped to raise and train and develop young people. And we need to learn to have appreciation for all of that input. Amen. We need to learn once again how to appreciate the many kinds of gifts that God has given to us. There isn't anybody that came on this planet that wasn't born. So that means if you have a negative attitude toward females, you need to repent of your sin. You can't get here without one. Amen? And he made it that way on purpose. He made it that way. That's his plan. You need that support. You need that love. You need that care. You need that tenderness. You need that nurturing. To the point that in the Bible, when he says, if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord himself will take me up. It's that important. It's that important. All through life, it's important. So if your birth or biological or adoptive or guardian or relative parent has gone on, you are not left without any hope. God has stepped into that role on your behalf. Please acknowledge his presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. I remember a conversation a few years ago that I had with the Lord Jesus, and he was telling me things that my mother in heaven was saying to him. And I told him I didn't want her to talk about those things to him. I didn't want her to say anything. I didn't want her to say anything at all. And he wasn't in the least bit interested in my comment, okay? He proceeded to go right on and talk about what he intended to talk about. So I found myself later on having to repent of my rotten attitude because it was rotten. Okay? When your mother loves you, she's going to act like she does, whether she's on earth or in heaven. It's just that simple. So you better get used to it. She can still poke her nose in your business from heaven. Amen. See, she isn't going to get off if you leave. It's real. It's just real. That's just the way it is. And so that's the way it's going to be. So just change your attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes you're wrong. And when you're wrong, you're just wrong. So change your attitude and realize that God gave her a position, and that's her position. You see, Jesus had to deal with that at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. His mother came up to him, and she didn't go into this long dissertation about what ought to be and what's not in place. And she just got right to the point. They're out of wine. And he made his comment. And she turned and went off to do, you know, after she spoke to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And she went off to take care of other affairs. She didn't say one more word to her son. She had spoken. And some of us forget the power of parental authority in our lives. Amen. Some of us don't want to talk about that, but that's just too bad Jesus is talking about it. Now, parents have authority. God gave it to them. And the school board can't take it away. The school board cannot take it away. The government cannot take it away. What God has established is. Amen? So now, earlier, was it this week, Lord? One of these weeks, I think it was last week, I placed an article in the chat room for you to help you understand what Jesus has to say about the matter. It was an article about a young lady who was gang raped. And after that event, she got up, packed her belongings, and went back to her hometown where her parents were. Her parents felt, after she discovered that she had become pregnant, that she needed to kill that baby and hurry it up, just like people are behaving now. I think they fully understood that that was their grandchild. I think they were just in shock and wondered about what other people would say. Well, she had the courage not to yield to their insistence. She understood that she was not going to receive the necessary support from them. So she decided to give birth to her child, her daughter, and put her up for adoption. Well, years later, and through a lot of pain, suffering, trial and error, searching and not giving up, she found her mother, her birth mother, and they were reunited. The young lady found out that her mother had learned to forgive. So much had been stolen from her. So much had changed her life. But she learned to forgive her assailant. And so her daughter decided to forgive them as well. You see, saints, God gives beauty for ashes. That was the scripture I meant to look up, Lord. I knew it was. God gives beauty for ashes. Somehow, I think we need to remember that. I'm here. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He might be glorified. Some of us are still sitting on the side with a stick stirring in the ashes of our lives. That's right. Some of us are still there in some places. There are ashes there, and we're sitting there stirring in the ashes and staring at them. But Jesus is saying, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. That doesn't always feel good. But Jesus doesn't operate on feelings, which is why I keep trying to encourage us not to do that. He operates on faith, what I'm trying to encourage us to do. And when that season is over, it's time to move on. Remember the Aesop's fable? I can't remember of that one, Lord, where there was spilled milk on the ground. The pail had got knocked over. Maybe the cow did it. And somebody wanted to sit there and mourn and whine and cry over the spilled milk. Well, that's not going to help the situation. Once the milk has been spilled, it's gone. You've got to go find that cow and get some more milk. So, all of us need to visit this lesson in our lives at various times. It's important to keep up with God. I mean, after all, who wants their lily pad to turn into a toadstool? And when God says, let's go, he means let's go. Amen. Amen. So, if your mother is not here, or the person who raised you, or the persons who raised you are not here, you can't sit there and stir in the ashes. You can appreciate what they deposited into you because you have what you need. You have what you need. When my mother passed away, I was at the funeral home one day, and I was talking to a childhood friend of mine who works there. And he had a very long conversation to tell me. And what he told me is, you had your mother all the days of your life up until now. And you got what you need to go on. She's already put it in you. It's in you. You just have to let it come forth. I said, thank you. You know, it's amazing who God will use to speak to you when you need to hear his voice. You think, my mother isn't here anymore. I can't cry on her shoulder anymore. She can't give me advice anymore. She put that inside of you. Amen? She put that inside. Let it come forth. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, my dad's gone on, and I can't get any more advice when he's already put it in you. All the times that you spent together, he imparted what you're going to need. So Jesus is not going to let you come up short. He takes on the parenthood ministry. He is the commander-in-chief, the executor of the parenthood ministry. So there is no one who is missing a parent. Amen. If for some reason the person you're used to hugging isn't there to hug, Jesus gives great hugs, the very best. They don't ever stop. Amen? Amen. So we need to remember the things that are really important. We have the everlasting arms right under us. And the hugs we get from our Heavenly Father never come to an end. Amen. Amen. Great is his faithfulness to us. Amen. Amen. So right now we're going to repent of what we know we need to repent of, whatever that may be. And we're going to ask our Heavenly Father to have mercy upon us and to forgive us and to help us get it together. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give you a minute or so with the Lord, and then we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Oh, I said that wrong. Let me do that again. I need to clean my glasses. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, because he loves us, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Brother Bill is being kind to me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, God wants to have a little chat with us. But first, we're going to have a little prayer. I hope you'll join me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we go, your word will lead us. When we sleep, your word will keep us. When we awaken, your word will talk with us. Your word is truly a lamp and a light for us. Thank you for your word, which imparts faith to our hearts. As we believe your word, you fill us with all joy and peace. We abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will not let your word depart from our mouths as we meditate upon its truth day and night. We will walk in your word daily. We know you will fulfill your promise to make our way and to fill our lives with good success. Lord, your wonderful word gives us life because it is the word of life. It reminds us that death and life are in the power of our tongue. When we speak your word, we speak forth life into our own heart and the hearts of others. As we continue to hold forth your word, Lord, help us to rejoice as in the day of Christ. We know that our labor is never in vain in you. Every mother ought to know that. Amen.
Amen.
Father, help us to always be a doer of your word, not hearers only. In obeying your word, we realize that your love is made perfect in us. Father, bless us with your grace to be doers and keepers of your word. Those who do what Christ tells them to will learn to love God more and more. Lord, your way is perfect, and your word is tried. You are our mighty buckler, and we rest all our trust in you. We know that your word will never return to you without it having its desired effect. Thank you for your word, Father. Help us to continue walking and living in your word. Heavenly Father, we want to live by the word, by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Your word is wonderful to us. We will walk in the light of your word every day of our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today, saints, we're going to have this little talk, this little discussion. And I want you to keep your heart open and your ears open because God has some things to say. He really does. When I started with this message, I went, really? And he said, yes. So, all right, let's begin. Saints, the title of this message is, There is a Season. There is a season. Saints, as unusual as this may seem, God has a plan for the suffering which he allows in our lives. God has a plan for the suffering which he allows in our lives. The idea that Jesus was intentionally directed by the Holy Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil is a very challenging concept. Into the wilderness. Wilderness is not a fun place. The wilderness, there's nothing out there but wild beasts, hot air. It's not the kind of place you want to hang out every day. There's no swimming pool. It's kind of dry out there. There's no entertainment center, no concerts going on, none of that. No live entertainment. It's kind of a bleak place. Most people would run away from it, but Jesus didn't. Most of us would run away, but Jesus didn't. He walked in obedience. Isn't that interesting? You know, most of us, when we perceive something that might be unpleasant coming toward us, we try to get out of it. But Jesus didn't do that. He stayed obedient. Maybe we should follow his example. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. Amen. That's the way we are. We don't want to experience anything unpleasant if we can avoid it. But that's not always wisdom. And that's not always the will of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't that something great to look forward to, being tempted of the devil? I don't think we think that way, but it was a necessary kind of thing. You understand? Some unpleasantness is necessary. It has an accomplishment and a purpose. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So Jesus had a very interesting experience. He was baptized in the Jordan, filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 whole days, nonstop. And he wasn't eating. There was no Burger King out there. There was no Arby's. There were no golden arches, okay? Let's just get that straight. None of that was out there in the wilderness. No crystals either. So now have we covered it all? So he didn't eat anything, and we have no record of him going, "Oh, I'm so hungry. I don't know if I can make it." It doesn't say he did any of that. Now did it. So what does that tell you? Jesus, they're getting quiet on me already. And when they were ended, afterward he hungered. So, we have some growing up to do, don't we? Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. So now we have a pretty clear picture of some of what Jesus went through. Amen? So the scriptures have explained it, so that is exactly what happened. Soon after we become Christians, we discover that temptations frequently arise. So does God deliberately orchestrate such tests, or was the wilderness temptations just for Jesus? I can answer that for you. It's for everyone. Thank God allows his followers to be tested for a good purpose. Jesus' experience is an example for all saints. There is great depth in these passages. An even deeper meaning is revealed. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, yet the wilderness is unavoidable. The wilderness is unavoidable. It's a principle of God. That's right. He created us to move through the spiritual season, just as he created the earth to move through physical seasons. Some of those seasons are spent in a wilderness. Wilderness seasons occur in a few different ways. Firstly, we enter through obedience to God's leading, just as Jesus did. After his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted on purpose. Jesus' obedience in the wilderness both defeated Satan's plans to disqualify him and to thrust him into his ministry. So when we enter into wilderness led by the Holy Spirit, we have work to do with God. We have work to do with God. God wanted his son and his followers to understand the Lord's mission clearly, that Jesus had not come to earth as Israel's conquering king, but as her suffering servant. Suffering servant? Yes. The Lord was not tested to see if he would fail. And neither would you be tested to see if you would fail. You're expected to come through in victory. That's what the expectation is at the onset. So all those ideas of failure you've got, you need to ditch them before you step across the threshold. Amen? Amen? Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted to demonstrate how we can resist the temptation to sin and how, through the power of God, we too can overcome. You're not designed to fail. So all those little tracks you have in your mind that tells you you can do that, you need to find your eraser. That's not allowed in this kingdom. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Since he himself has been through suffering and temptation, he knows what it is like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is well able to help us. He is well able to help us. It is in the wilderness that we willingly follow the Lord into suffering in order to defeat the enemy and gain what we need to move into God's destiny for us. Secondly, the wilderness season may be a result of sin. The Israelites were in just such a position. Even though they entered into the wilderness out of obedience, they grievously sinned against the Lord while they were there. As a result, God promised to purge the sinful generation from them before they could enter into the promised land. So they wandered for 40 years. Often, God must purge sin issues from us before we can enter into the fullness of his promises. How about that? How about that? There's some underlying causes to sin that God wants us to deal with. And by the way, let me give you this little hint or tip. You cannot fake God out. There is no process for that. It does not exist. You can't pretend you know how you do. Oh, yes, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praying. And you know that's not the case, at least not that day. You can't fake the Godhead out. It's not possible to do so. So don't go there. Amen? Be transparent. Whatever you do, be transparent. God must purge sin issues from us before we can enter into the fullness of his promises. The third way we enter into a wilderness season is by being thrust into it through circumstances beyond our control. Job had to enter his wilderness this way. He experienced great loss, not as a result of sin or a choice he made. Job was being tested by God. Let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He detested evil. Verse 6, Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? That's a high compliment to receive from God. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God gave him a high compliment. Amen. We need to remember that. Not every loss is due to an unusual situation between God and Satan, as Job had. So stop acting as if this is your situation. Let's not exaggerate. Life is challenging enough. Amen? However, it is good to note that both God and Satan do watch our responses in the wilderness. We're being watched and observed. Yes, God wants to know what we're going to do, but most of all, we need to find out what we're going to do. Amen. Each one is looking for an opportunity. God is looking for an opportunity to restore and bless. Satan is looking for an opportunity to bring bondage that keeps us from moving forward. How we respond in the wilderness determines our next season. If Moses had not disobeyed God in the wilderness, he would have been allowed to enter the promised land. Let's go to the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Numbers, Old Testament, Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Amen? Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Seriously. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouths closed, you know what I'm saying? We don't need to volunteer to have foot and mouth disease just because there's a cure for it. Sometimes when we don't understand what's going on, we need to just close our mouth and wait on God. That requires some maturity, and we have to decide that we want it in order to receive it. Verse 4. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Well, God was the one to pick the rest. Sometimes you really do need to close your mouth. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. They had a serious case of, I want to murmur and complain. That's not good. Amen. Maybe we ought to loan them some duct tape. You think so? And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So God already had the answer prepared for them. It was right there in their midst. But you see, if you don't use the eyes of faith, you're not going to see what faith sees. Amen? Amen. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So we can see that we must needs be obey God in the wilderness. It's crucial and it's critical. Amen? We don't have a plan B. There's only one plan, plan obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo at the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah until the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eye, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Obedience is a serious matter. If Job had given in to grief and cursed God, he would never have come into the renewed blessing and restoration which God showered upon him. Let's visit Job in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, beginning with verse 12. Job chapter 42, beginning with verse 12. Amen. Job chapter 42, beginning with verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now, Job was doing quite well in the beginning, if you recall. For he had 14,000 sheep, 14,000 sheep. A lot of that boss stuff going on. You know, they like to huddle together and move like a group, you know. And 6,000 camels. Camels will spit on you, in case you were wondering. They have great ability. I don't know if they practice first with watermelon seeds or not, but they have a great ability to spit on you. So you might want to duck or wear a hat. And 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a full house. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapa. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. So they got inheritance just like their brothers did. They had their own money. So whoever showed up to propose to them had to come with something, you know. They already had something, and if he couldn't add to it, he needed to keep going. Hint, hint, hint. You know, I had one of my interns years ago. Now here, she's an intern. She's about to graduate from pharmacy school. She's been to have some cha-ching for sure. And then we were discussing her going on to medical school. And so one day we were having this wonderful conversation, and she goes, well, what if the one you like, if he doesn't have all this? I said, honey, let me explain something to you. If you marry him and he doesn't have chip or change, and you got it all, when you divorce, you'll be paying him alimony, not the other way around. Let's just deal with the facts and the truth, shall we? You need to think and quit feeling your life all the time. You know, you're going to feel your way through everything. Oh, but I feel he, and he said he loved me. Uh-huh. Let's see that tax return. Let's go to the accountant. Let's go by the attorney. Let's get down to business, because there is business involved in a marriage relationship. There's a lot of business going on. He had the worst credit rating you ever heard of, but you want to hook up with this. Okay, let's go find your brain cells and activate them again, shall we? Amen? Let's activate your brain cells. Amen? Because if you think God's going to come bail you out every single time you all go in the ditch when you knew you didn't have enough to begin with, you got another thing coming. At some point, you got to grow up. Uh-huh. But I think he'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. You'll need a second job. How about that? You see, we like to run around on feelings. But you see, faith has substance. And God called you to prosperity.
Lord, you're going to have to talk to him some more.
God called you to prosperity. He does not have to drive a Lamborghini, but he does have to have a profitable job with a future.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, maybe they'll get it. Maybe they won't.
Amen. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. They were not broke. Get it? All right. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. There's a blessing to obedience in the wilderness. Amen? He could have died a bitter old man. If Jesus had yielded to temptation, not only would he have missed his own destiny, but we too would have missed our only means of redemption, which means we'd all be going to hell, period. Obedience is extremely important. Amen?
Amen.
Other people's lives that are connected to yours, that your life has some influence now or in the future, your obedience matters. It just does. And it's a truth that we need to face. It's a truth that we need to face. We must participate with God's plan for our lives in order to step into the season he has ordained for us. Many times, we are so overcome by grief or loss in the wilderness season that we simply cannot move forward. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So how do we move forward from the painful reality of our own grief in the glory of God's restorative plan? How do we get going, Pastor? Experiencing loss is one way of entering into a wilderness season. Loss is a sad, unavoidable part of life. Whether it be through death, divorce, job loss, victimization, disability, property loss, or other tragedies and disappointments. Everyone has experienced loss in one form or another. No one is immune. It is important to understand what loss can do in our lives that will either move us forward toward a season of restoration, or it will keep us immobilized and lost in the wilderness. Amen? It's important to understand that loss can do some things. It can do some things to us. It can move us forward, or it can keep us immobilized so that we're still wandering in the wilderness years later. All loss produces some kind of grief, which is the emotional expression of loss. Grieving is not an indication that a person is not spiritual or somehow does not trust in God. No, it does give credence to our humanity. It says we're human. We're not bots. We're human. Amen? Amen. Many who have walked through intense grief have experienced a level of God's grace that they might never have known otherwise. God extends his magnificent grace to us during such seasons. You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus is acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So he doesn't look down on us when we go through it. Amen? Amen. So I'm glad we understand that. No, he does not frown on us then. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. The experts, as some call them, tell us that there are many stages to the grieving process. Each of us is unique. We may experience some, all, or none of these stages. We are each different in dealing with pain. We are each different in dealing with pain. The grieving process affects everyone differently, and two people may come out of the same situation with opposing frames of mind. There are two instances in which grief can keep us from moving toward restoration. One of them is when the cycle of grief is not complete. Deep hurts require deep healing. Most find that the healing process is usually longer and more strenuous than we ever expect. Some persons make a conscious decision to experience the emotions of grief as they come, no matter how uncomfortable they may be, and to see those emotions through to the end. And to see those emotions through to the end. as we allow ourselves to grieve through the ebb and flow of natural emotions, healing can begin to penetrate the pain. That's right. You know, there's some of us that I'm speaking to. You want to hurry up and get through it. You want it over with in a couple of minutes, and you don't want to feel another thing. But God has already come and told us that that hurry, that haste, that speed is not him. Some of us want to take our pain and find a closet and shove it all in the closet. Everything that happens, we get it and we run to the closet and we shove it in the closet. The next thing that happens, we take it to the closet and we shove it in the closet, and then we use our backs to push the door closed and pray that nothing ever happens to open that door. We can hear knocks from the other side of the door trying to get our attention, and we just ignore it and tune it out. Well, beloved, that won't work. That will not work. Sooner or later, that door will come down. Amen. Let me say this part again. As we allow ourselves to grieve through the ebb and flow of natural emotion, healing can begin to penetrate the pain. Running from the pain is not going to solve. Self-medication will not solve it. And a number of other ills and vices will not solve. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. We need to remember that. Corporate America or any other industry cannot dictate to people how long or how they should grieve. Saying to an employee that they may attend their birth mother's funeral but may not attend the funeral of the aunt who actually raised them does more damage than benefits can allay. If we do not allow ourselves to heal and instead deny our emotions, the grief will fester and often manifest later in various harmful ways. It's not going to stay in the closet. It's coming out the closet too. Faith, we must also remember that we have an enemy who seizes our times of loss as an opportunity to prey upon us. He's a predator, you know. Unless we allow the Lord to take us through our seasons of grief and see them to the end, Satan can use our denial to create a stronghold of grief within our lives. This kind of grief, deeply embedded, that keeps us from coming into restoration. Before I go on to the next point, I want to say something. If the Lord removes people from your life, let them go. Don't try to pull them back. God always knows what is best for us. And because he loves us more than anyone else ever could, you need to trust his love. Not your own thoughts, not your own lust, not your own desires, not your own emotions, not the picture you painted for yourself. You know, you got your little paintbrush out and you said, well, I think this ought to turn out like this. So you paint your little imaginary ending. I highly recommend to you that you throw that painting in the trash. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe him. Believe him. If people leave you, let them go. You're trying to hold on to them or pull them back will cause you more damage than you realize. Amen. There is also the case when the cycle of grief goes on too long. Brother Bill, who is that? Who is that? There is the case when the cycle of grief goes on too long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grief is necessary. And it is important to see the process through to the end. Yet some of us choose to grieve too long. Some of us choose to grieve too long. Many people caught in the throes of pain can't see that there is a time to cast off mourning. Even the prophet Samuel experienced this in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. You know, there are some people that become addicted to their own mourning. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. That was interesting. Samuel was caught up in grief over Samuel was caught up in grief over Saul's failure. You know, that can happen to our children and us, our relatives and siblings and us. They fail, and we grieve their failure far too long, to the point that it drags us downstream. Amen. And it is so. God's appointed season of grieving for Samuel over Saul's removal from power had reached its limit. It was time for Samuel to either move on or miss the next move of God. We cannot afford to miss the next move of God. The next move of God might be the last. Amen? So he was either going to move on or miss the next move of God through David. Saints, when God moves on, move with him. Saints, when God moves on, move with him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. When God moves on, move with him. There's some things you cannot change and some things you should not attempt to change. A time to weep. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. When one season ends, you cannot prolong it and prosper. Amen? Just as Satan can use denial to afflict us, he also aids when we prolong our seasons of grief far beyond what God intends. By keeping us feeling as though we are in a state of perpetual mourning, Satan is well aware that we cannot move into the abundant life God has for us beyond our loss. Grief robs us of strength. Usually the strength we need to move into a season of life that is far greater than we had before the loss. During an appropriate season of grief, God's grace covers our lack of natural strength. But when the Lord is ready to move us on, that grace lifts. If we do not move with God, we can be left in a vulnerable and weak place, unable to cross over into our inheritance. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. Amen? Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, beginning with verse 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 9, beginning with verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. So it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, no, let me back up. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tent and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tent. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So now, church, now, miracle, do we understand that when God moves, we move? When God is still, we are still. You see, there are still some of us in this congregation that think we're so smart we can figure out a plan. And our plan to get out of our fix is we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do the other. And we think we ought to try this. It might look good on our resume and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. But I beg to differ with you, because the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they're the sons of God. So if you're not being led, aren't you disqualifying yourself? It's clear here from the very beginning that they didn't move till God moved. And if you're one of these people, you think it's your job to plan every moment of your life, I have news for you. That's not the case. This is the case. You know, your little bright idea, as I said previously, might not be the right idea. Obedience in the wilderness is imperative. It's mandatory. If you choose to disobey, as Moses did, the loss is not minuscule. It's great. So that's a decision you will need to make for yourself. What are you going to do? Amen? What are you going to do? Are you going to decide that, well, I think I can figure this out by myself? Yeah. I pray for you. What if Joshua had allowed his grief over the death of Moses to extend beyond the appointed season? Deuteronomy 34, verse 8 reads as follows. Deuteronomy 34, verse 8 reads as follows. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. There is an end to it. But what if the days of weeping and mourning had not ended? Quite simply, Joshua would not have crossed over into God's inheritance for his people. His grief would have consumed the strength he needed for that vital time in history. Instead, Joshua mourned appropriately, regained his strength, and moved on when the strategic time came. If we have ears to hear, God is faithful to show each of us when our seasons of mourning should come to an end, and when it's time to cast off our robes of mourning and begin to live again. When that time comes, does it mean that we are totally healed? Not always. We may still experience pain from the losses in our lives. After all, these events do shape much of who we are. But feeling the pain and allowing the Lord to bring us to a deeper level of healing is not the same as living in mourning. The process of healing from past traumas may still be a reality in our lives. Even though the chronological season of grief may end, the process of healing will go on until God's process of restoration is complete. Do we understand? Do we get God's point today? We can't grieve forever. We must go on. We have a calling to fulfill, to do our master's will. It can't be all about us and how we feel. It's got to be about him. It's got to be about his will. It's got to be about his kingdom. Some of us want to reach back and grab people from our past and say, come on, I know you can make it. Don't do that. Don't do that. As your pastor, don't do that. Amen? You barely escaped what you got out of. Don't do that. Presently, you are not headed to hell. Don't do that. Amen? For those of you who need to recast this, you know, some of us, you know, when God brings a message that's not necessarily all that comfortable, we take in part of it, and parts of it we're not quite ready, we think, to receive. But God is saying we all need to recast this one. Amen? Don't try to reach back into your past and pull forward what God has not appropriated to go into your future. Leave it where it landed. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. All of us at some point have had to let people that are dead and people that are alive, we had to let them go. Because they're not a part of the picture, the plan, and the purpose that God has for our lives. We need to humble ourselves and accept God's plan and go with him. Amen? Amen. I hope that we learned something from this today, because it's important to remember messages like this for a very long time. We might have to repeat them at some point in the future. There's a season to mourn, but there's a season to move on. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I like God. He got right to the point today,
as he always does.
There are things you got to let go of. You can't drag them behind you like a ball and chain for the rest of your life. You might miss the rapture messing around like that. You might miss the catching away trying to drag a ball and chain with you. It's just not going to work. And we know this is the end time. We know every moment we're getting closer and closer to leaving the planet, the body of Christ. It's hard to go up if you got a ball and chain pulling you back down. I think you know what I mean. Gravity does its job. But if we're wise, we'll move with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father with the law of lift. You know, airplanes do this even if they're poorly put together. Even if they're falling apart and doors are coming off and landing gear is landing back on the ground. They just keep going, and they keep going, and they build up speed until they overcome the force of gravity, and they move into the law of lift. They don't go back looking for that landing gear to drop. They leave that for somebody else to do. They don't go back looking for that door that fell off. They let that lady call the police, and they can figure that out. They keep going until it's time to land the plane. Do we understand, church? So whatever has left your life, keep moving. Keep up with the cloud of God. Keep up with the glory cloud. Forgetting those things that are behind, the Bible says. I press toward the mark. I suggest you get on with pressing. Mm-hmm. It's a real world. We have a real God, real power, real scriptures, real destiny. Real destiny. You know, sometimes I take my eyes off of this world like I did this morning in praise and worship. And I place them on the throne of God and all of the people that have been saved over all the ages. And we're all there together around the throne. Worshiping the Lord. I have no intentions of missing. It's part of my destiny. I hope you realize that it's part of your destiny too. We'll all be marching up the King's Highway. He says to open the gates and let in those who carry the truth. Well, why would I want to miss that? Why would you? So don't stay stuck wherever you are. Get up and move with the cloud of God. Amen? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this message today. It's a very stirring and challenging message, and we needed it. So we want to thank you also for the armor of God that you've given us, because we've got some warring to do. We take the shield of faith so that we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We put the helmet of salvation on, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you that you put a hedge around us, and we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Yes, you have made us to be the head and not the tail. and no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We want to thank you for the armor that you've provided for us, Lord. We want to thank you that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, and you've supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We can cast down and cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. You've given us the blessing of divine health, and by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. We thank you for the prosperity and health that we receive, even as our souls prosper. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we want to thank you for leading and guiding us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders. And we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the destruction of all the protections of the demonic realm and the demonic persons in the name of Jesus. We call down and destroy all protections that they use in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to release your angels to remove those protections in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming power of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, listeners, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, all electronic, digital, and technology demons and their attacks, all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, all brainwashing, kundalini, psychic spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, passive devils and their attacks, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation, artificial intelligence, smart dust, and drone spirits, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all hypnotic trance devils and their attacks in the name of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons. All the voices of the stranger, the charmer, the seducer in their attacks, targeted radio frequency, pulse weapons in their attacks, all microwave attacks, all debilitating sonic frequency attacks, and the work of every druid. All electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, mind control by the occult, force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits, which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding directed energy, microwave weapons, binding all vibrations, which are demons, binding all microwave frequency weapons, 5G, and their components, and binding and deflecting and returning to sender all attacks from any other galaxy or solar system in Jesus' name, from any planet, any orbit, any star system in the solar system in Jesus' name, from any outlet that's been placed on a planet, any station that's been placed on a planet, from any star moving under the ariki, under the unction of man-made devices in the name of Jesus. From any satellite system in the name of Jesus Christ, any satellite system, man-made in particular, used to surveil us, to attack us, and to control us, we return its waves to the sender in the name of Jesus Christ. We send this weaponry back upon the senders in the name of Jesus Christ according to the covenant. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. We bind the reception of such from any receptor on our planet, from the cell towers, and from our electronic and technological devices in Jesus' name. We reject all such interference. We bind artificial intelligence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind all microwave frequency weapons, 5G and components, and we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, Islander, Ruka Derebaresha, tribal groups, indigenous groups, groups we have never had contact with. We bind their wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the wickedness of every cult, every coven, every cabal, and every conclave. All of these organizations, human or otherwise, that work against what God has intended, we bind you and we bind your source of funding and power in the name of Jesus. We take your power from you in the name of Jesus Christ and we return it to Jesus. All power belongs to God. We bind all Morgellons attacks and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind all Caribbean, Latin American, and Jamaican black and white magic in the name of Jesus. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, low levels of dopamine. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect, all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, and all witchcraft dedications and rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, supplanting the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind Mammon and his agents, and we bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, perverse, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the generation of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger. We bind food lust, addictions, and gluttony and false flags. We return to senders according to the covenant. All and every attack on any member of MIC in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as we enter in this week into this time of seeking your face, we ask you, Lord, to protect us by your spirit and by your grace. We thank you for affording us this opportunity to seek you and to seek you alone. We thank you, Father, for pulling our attention away from all that distract and centering our focus upon you. We ask you, Lord, to sanctify and consecrate this time so that, Lord, it will be holy and acceptable unto you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for all that you will do in our lives and that you will receive our prayers before your throne in Jesus' name. We return to sender, according to the covenant, all and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, light, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us, astral projections, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind, binding the inordinate use of conjugal rites, returning to sender all witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, the broadcast, and the app in Jesus' name, binding all abortions as a magic ritual, returning to sender all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and such, urgi, all conjuration in Jesus' name, returning to sender all tribal witchcraft and occultism, especially initiated by a shaman or obeda man or witch doctor in the name of Jesus. Returning to sender, all Chaldean witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, Adriki, according to the covenant, let your word be true, Father, and every man a liar. Binding all covens, cults, conclaves, and cabals, especially those under the auspices of the Illuminati and the globalists and other international organizations that were not elected by the people but self-appointed and not appointed by God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Returning to sender all Spanish and Mexican witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. Breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ. Binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin. Binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, and magical patterns, even in numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and all other underwater demons and inhabitants of the sea, stripping them of their crowns, thrones, and powers in the name of Jesus Christ and returning them to the Lord Jesus, binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells and potions, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, la-la land, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and works of the oppressors and the spirit and the children of disobedience, binding martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards in Jesus' name, binding the king of pride and all of his underlings, chaining them with eternal chains under darkness, sending them into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulic sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind every sacrifice done by a queen of the coast in the name of Jesus. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, idle mind, unfocused mind, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting of youth, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Baphomet, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, On, all false deities, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72 in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you, chain you, send you into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, vow, pledge, and pact in Jesus' name. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grips, Freemasonry, the charter, the rituals of every secret society, and all those of the associated organizations in Jesus' holy name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the insanity, pride, work of errors, foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. We return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control. In Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief. We ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to send all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality and escapism of the Hallmark Channel shows, binding the pathways to sins to the mind in Jesus' name. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind and command every demon that has followed us, was transferred to us, sent to us, or hijacked with us to leave us now and never return in the name of Jesus, and all reinforcements. Even those demons that come through the computer lines, and through our electronic devices in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere, kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians, especially those that are being persecuted or imprisoned and the January 6th prisoners. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus and cover our mode of transportation and the road or the airways or the waterways in which we travel with the blood of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over animals, demons, and other interferences in our path of travel. We thank you, Father, that you have dispatched your angels ahead of us to protect us. Thank you, Lord. We cover ourselves and all of our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over all the demons of the night, any dream that's trying to violate our sleep space in Jesus' name. We take our sleep space back in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind our bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams. We command them to stay away. We bind the pizza out of our dreams. We ask for giant warrior angels to protect us and our property, Lord. And we thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for warring, linking angels and their shields. We thank you for the praising angels. But most of all, we thank you for your very presence in our midst. We pull out any sharp pain, any pin or voodoo pin, fiery dart, needle, spear, voodoo, witchcraft, curses, anything sent by the demonic realm, and we hurl it back in the name of Jesus. We bind the devils in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep, and we close and seal every open door to the demons. We cut, destroy, and eliminate all silver cords and ley lines. and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We tear down and destroy walls of protection around every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, nanotechnology, shaman, globalist, sorcerer, divinator, liar, and Obita man in Jesus' name. We break the power of all the curses, vexes, charms, love spells, witchcraft, death, bewitchments, potions, jinxes, brain frequency meditations, psychic thoughts and prayers, mind control, voodoo, sorcery, magic, pain, torment, sickness, destruction, psychic powers and warfare, ungodly blessings, chantings, incantations, incense and candle burning, crystals, hoodoo, root works, tribal rituals and sin, and everything being sent to us that did not come from our God. We return it to sender in Jesus' name. We return to sender. Spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, all your wicked powers and their reinforcing devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We send back spirits of blindness, spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. We thank you, Father, that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and we receive the freedom that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, procured for us. Amen. Amen. Now, having said all of that, thank you, Lord, for receiving our prayers. I have an announcement to make. I'm not going to post this announcement in the chat room because I'm giving it to you now. As you know, on Wednesday, we are entering into a season of seeking the face of our God. And the Lord has been dealing with us about our hurry and rush and speed and bustle and all of that. And he has also called us to task for those who need some rest. So on this coming Wednesday, we will not have a live broadcast. Instead, we will spend time with the Lord. And for those who need it, time in rest. Yes, as always, I will post a sermon for you to recast, should that be what the Lord directs you to do. But we are going to begin day one with honoring the words that God has spoken to this ministry and to this congregation. He has called us away from our hurry, our bustle, our work, our rushing, and our trying to figure out these fast solutions when that's not what he wants. He's called us away from neglecting the rest that our bodies and our minds and our spirits need. So we are going to humble ourselves, and we're going to do what he has been calling us to do. Amen? As I said, I will not repost this announcement in the chat room. I think most of you know what I have already posted in the chat room as of yesterday. So you are expected to act like mature saints and to do what God says to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to thank you for your time today. The Lord is changing us, saints. Let's flow with the change. Amen? Amen? God is changing us. Not necessarily everything around us, even though he is. He's changing us. Let's flow with his change. Amen? Amen? Rise for the benediction. Amen. Rise for the benediction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Pastor loves you. Remember to do what God said to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord.
When I was just a child, I heard a beautiful story. How you loved me so much that you died on Calvary. Still feel your touch. You are still. Lord.